Hey, everyone. Well, it's too many times I have to say this, but I'm back. The holidays came, and, I was going to take a week or two off, and then my recording interface broke, and I had to send it in for repair. Of course, it was 2 months out of warranty, obviously. So there was that. But now I'm going to come back, and I saw too many nice iTunes reviews, and my subscribership has actually grown in my absence, so maybe I should just never do it and it'll just keep growing. No, but that's great, so I couldn't ignore it any longer. I gotta continue on. So we are on Numbers. We're reading the Bible, I'm pretty sure, if I remember right. The Bible, the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And something doesn't look right in my recording. Hold on. Wait, no, I guess it's okay. Okay, I had to check that, sorry. It just looks different for some reason. Okay. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And if you remember, to give a little refresher, the people are crying and weeping because they sent out scouts to do some recon on the land that God promised them. And wouldn't you know it, there are people inhabiting it. That is just so weird. And those people look as though they want to keep the land that they rightfully live on, which is amazing. I know, it was a different time back then. Just outrageous. But the part I don't get is how the people seem to not, they still don't seem to trust in God. So they're still like, they don't get it. Like, oh God, oh man. They don't, and never mind. There's more later. I'll see. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Seriously, aren't they maybe overdoing it just a little bit? You know, wishing that they had died in the land of Egypt. It's so ridiculous that they don't. Never mind. It's just there's more of this. This doesn't end. It's just so funny that they can't go 2 minutes without God having to like prove himself to them. You know, God will do something huge, and then they're like, oh, okay. And then 5 seconds later, they're like, oh, man, oh, I can't believe we're out here. And God, I don't trust you guys anymore, Moses. I know I've seen countless miracles, but now I'm done with you guys. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Or you could just... that's one option, return to Egypt where you were slaves, or just try to not take other land from other people, you know, just find a different place to live that's not inhabited, or option three, try to just see if these people will peacefully let you, you know, sort of mingle with them and assimilate into them. Maybe it's a long shot, but you could at least check, you know. It's not, you don't have to just take their land. You could just live there. So that's another option. And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt, where they were being killed and slaves and all that. It was unreasonable, all that stuff. And, not to mention, there is no Egypt anymore, because if you remember, that whole chapter was just ridiculous, where God actually killed everybody, but somehow there were still people there. Anyway, that's just a callback to that episode. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And then they really wanted to pick another team captain, because they just can't stop falling on their faces. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Which is a pretty rational thing to say if you're talking to God. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Please let me know the second stoning someone is done with something other than a stone. The minute that that happens. Until then, you can go ahead and just say stone them. You know, you don't need to say stone them with stones. I understand it's like stone them. Oh, with what? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, shoot. Do we have anything to stone? What do you stone people with normally? Is anyone? Oh, man, that's a good question. Well, if we had anything, if we could think of what to stone you with, we would absolutely stone you right now, mister. The minute you don't stone people with stones, then go ahead and feel free to say that. But until then. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long? Oh, sorry, it's the Lord. How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shewed among them? And that's what I'm saying. And this is just incredible. So here is God actually saying, Oh, man, why won't they believe in me? I don't get it. Well, God, I don't know. This would be if I were Moses, which I would have already been killed several times, but just for fun. Well, God, I don't know. So you say you want all of them to believe in you, right? That's correct? Yes. Hmm. And you've tried? Oh, have you tried showing them miracles and stuff like that? Yeah, I've shown them tons of things. I brought them out of Egypt. I did all those plagues, everything. Yeah, that's a tough problem. You are all powerful, right? Of course, that's why I've been trying to convince them of. That's what I've been trying to convince them of. Let me ask you this. Why did Abraham believe in you? Well, because I appeared to him, obviously. Oh, okay. And how about Moses? Why does he believe in you? Well, I talk to him frequently. We have little chats and, you know, we're generally friends. Oh, okay. Yeah, gee, I just can't think of a solution to your little prop. Oh, wait, I do have one thought. Whatever you did for Abraham and Moses, for them to believe in you, how about you just go ahead and do that with everybody in the entire world? I mean, you did just say you're all-powerful. And you did just say you want them, in your own words, this is your words, you did just say you want them to believe in you. You want them to. It's not a question of, you know, free will or anything crazy like that. It seems like a question of commitment on your part, Lord. Have you been just too busy or something like that? Oh, or is it possible Abraham or Moses or somebody just came up with you and that's why they believe in you, but you can't seem to get through to the rest of the people? It's just a thought. No. Okay. Sorry for that long scene. And I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Well, first, again, God, this all, what you just said sounds more difficult than just appearing to all of them. What you said is fine. You give them pestilence, disinherit them, get revenge by making a greater nation than them. You know, that's cool. That's good first thought, you know. Or you could just appear to all of them. You know, that sounds easier. You're omniscient, all that. Yeah. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians, but Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. You got to remind God by using parentheses. That's a God reminder. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, because, you know, they talk all the time. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar. By daytime in a pillar, sorry. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying something like this. This is all Moses talking to God, telling him why his plan sucks. They will all speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, remember when you said that, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. I don't remember him saying that, forgiving iniquity. Have you known, podcast listeners, have you known the Lord to forgive anything? In the, he's actually said quite clearly that he will punish transgressions unto the third and fourth generation after the person who originally committed them. Which seems like he should be just punishing everyone. But anyway, I guess Moses is trying to appease him. Oh yeah, you said you're of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Well, okay, that's a bit of realism there, I guess. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children unto the third and fourth generation. Oh, that's where I remember that from, the future. Pardon, I beseech thee. Finally, Moses is getting to the end of his pledge here. I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And this is, this really is just unreal. I'm glad Moses was there to talk some sense into the Lord. And you think, like, this is God we're talking about, right? How ridiculous is that sentence that Moses talks some sense into him? God's like, you know what? Oh, I think I'm just going to wipe them all out. Oh, it's so much easier than just talking to each one of them individually. Yeah, I know I'm all powerful and timeless, and the term easier than actually should not mean anything to me. Nor could you actually be talking to me right now, but still. And then Moses has to start, you know, talking sense. Oh, look, God, if you kill them all now, everyone is just, you'll be a laughingstock because of what you promised them and all those Egyptians we escaped from. How's that going to look with them? And God's like, well, I guess you're right, Moses, as always. I really just don't know what I would do without you sometimes. Oh, gosh, my temper. Oh, man. So that's silly old God. So where did I leave off? And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. So he's been persuaded. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. This is a parenthesis. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Parenthesis. Little caption there. Tomorrow turn you, and get you into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I'm getting so sick of them. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwelleth therein. Save Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But except for those two people, oh. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to... Oh, sorry, this is not... Oh, wait, no, that is still God. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those... Oh, no, that's not God. Sorry. Oh, this Bible is so confusing. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. God apparently has the energy to plague each person. So it's not a question of diet or eating right that makes him not strong enough to talk to everybody. So I just don't understand how it's cool under his rules to do that, but not to just appear to them in the first place like he did to Moses. How does that make any sense? I can't really think of what would make him act this way unless he was made up by Moses. That's, you know, I know that's a novel thought, but just think about it. But Joshua, the son of Nun, or Noon, or something, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. So they survived God's little PMS wrath. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and gat them up unto the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here. Wherever we be, there we be. And we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore? Now, this part's a little confusing. So now they actually want to obey the Lord, apparently. But the... Ah, jeez. I know I've said this before. Forgive me, but this is just another testament to how unspecial God's so-called chosen people are. So God chooses a people to be special and give someone else's land to. Why? Oh, because they're his people. Well, why are they his people? Because he revealed himself to them. Why? Well, because he chose to. It's so arbitrary that could all this talk about other people not being worthy because they don't worship this God, you know, or believe in this God, is so ridiculous when he can't even get his own quote-unquote chosen people to believe in him after performing dozens of miracles and killing a bunch of them and talking to some of them. If they can't get it by now, how could you expect anyone else to? And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. And by smitten he means, you know, like really in love with them. Oh, if you go out there without the Lord's permission, you'll be smitten. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presume to go, once again, not listening to Moses, apparently. They presume to go up unto the hilltop, Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp, so the Ark stayed put, meaning these people went up arkless, and you never want to do that. Never leave home without your Ark. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto the Hormah. Hormah. I should just try the Jewish pronunciation of everything. I don't know what it is, but it's just every H, just apparently the air was a lot thicker when that language was invented, just getting caught in your throat all the time. Okay, so that's the end of that chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, strange, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or a free will offering, or in your solemn feasts to make a sweet savor unto the Lord, unto yours truly, the Lord, of the herd or of the flock. Then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of oil. Now, this is very important because the last generation didn't quite get this recipe exactly right, which is why I had to gently destroy them. So make sure it's a tenth deal of flour mingled with just the fourth part of an hin of oil. Just a fourth part. Not any more. Not a fifth. Not 9/16ths or whatever that would be. The fourth part. Never mind. And the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. That's if you're making a one lamb offering there. Serves one lamb. If you're going to serve more than one lamb, just multiply accordingly. Everybody knows that. Or for a ram, this is the cooking with God part of the Bible here. Or for a ram, thou shalt prepare for a meat offering 2/10 deals of flour mingled with a third part of a hin of oil, and should we put another tenth deal of flour in there? Bam! Another tenth deal of flour. Remember when that was popular? Like Amarol or whatever it was? Maybe still is, I don't know, but that was... Bam! Was the funny thing to say. Bam! Oh, that's Amarol, I know that. And for a drink offering, thou shalt offer the third part of a hin of wine for a sweet savor unto, you guessed it, the Lord. And when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice in performing a vow or peace offerings unto the Lord, then shall he bring with a bullock a meat offering of 3/10 deals of flour mingled with half an hin of oil. And thou shalt bring for a drink offering, half a hin of wine for an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto me, the Lord. And I'm sure I've asked this before. I'm positive I've asked this before. But what is God doing with these offerings? It's like the cookies you leave for Santa. I don't know if just Moses just is like, yeah, bring this all in for the Lord. Oh, he's going to love that. The Lord, oh, he will just love this wine. And then in the middle of the night, Moses is just like, no, just eating it all, you know, like crazy. What would God, if this were real, just pretend for a minute. I know it's hard. Pretend for a minute that this Bible is actually something. And God is telling Moses to do this. What in the world is he doing with all this food and all this? It's an offering. Sure, I understand it's an offering. And you could make, if you really wanted to, you could make some argument like, the Lord just wants you to show your dedication by donating some of your food or whatever, you know, giving up, sacrificing. Sure, I guess you could sort of make that argument. But then what's with all the precise measurements? So if you do 3/10 deals of flour, it's good. But if you do 4/10, which is more, then I'm assuming that's bad, you know, like not the proper, you know, how in the world could you justify that if this is really God? You can't. Thus shall it be done for one bullock, or for one ram, or for a lamb, or a kid, according to the number that ye shall prepare, so shall ye do to every one according to their number. All that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, in offering an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. I'm sure they just had a stamp with that phrase, that they just bam, hit the, you know, hey, I need the, Moses, I need the, of a sweet savor by fire unto the Lord, or whatever. Bam. Okay, got that extra sentence in there. Bap, another one. And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, as ye do, so shall he do. Oh, wow. Really needed to take a sentence to say that. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. An ordinance forever in your generations, as ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. Forever in your generations, he says. Forever in your generations. Did their generations die out, or did he not mean forever? I just think that when God says something, you know, there are humans that say things, who say things that remember, and you can hold them to it. You know, not many, but there are some humans where they make a promise or something, or they'll keep it for their whole lives. But when God, and keep in mind, God is God, you know, it's God, makes a promise like, you need to do all this BS with this flower and all that crap forever in your generations. I guess he doesn't really mean it, because I'm pretty positive people don't offer bullocks with the tenth part of a flower. You know, and maybe they do. Hey, if they do, and you're out there and you do that yourself, then that's good for you. But I'm pretty sure nobody. Okay, I'm positive no Christian does that. I'm sure there's some weird, like, super orthodox religion that still does that, maybe. But if you're a good, if you believe in this Bible, no matter what your religion, if this, you know, whatever, no matter what your denomination, I guess, would be more precise. If you believe that this is God talking, then you'd better be doing this still, you know, forever in your generations. I guess you could test whether or not you're one of their generations. Anyway. One law and one manner shall be. Oh no, but it said the stranger sojourning with them, so it's everybody. That's pretty much anybody, I think, that believes in this Bible. And the Lord spake unto Moses, what do you know? Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be that when ye eat of the bread of the land, ye shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord. Ye shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for an heave offering, as ye do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye heave it. Of the first of your dough ye shall give unto the Lord an heave offering in your generations. And it turns out God was the first shakedown artist. He's like, God's talking about, so I'm thinking of the first of your dough, maybe you misplace an heave offering in my direction, you know, maybe it's a heave offering falls off the truck, you know, it's, when, hey, what are you going to do? If maybe you were to forget to, you know, give me a heave offering, well, maybe the those polar ice caps aren't looking so solid lately. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a little warm out here. Maybe a flood knocks out all of humanity. It's a dangerous place, this earth, you know. You never know, what could happen. I'm just speculating. You never, that's what God is. He's the mobster. He's a soprano, I guess. He wants his cut of the heave offerings, just like that, just like the Sopranos. And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments, which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforward among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, and we'll call it even, for a sweet savor unto the Lord with his meat offering and his drink offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the... Oh, shit, it's cutting off words again. I'm going to say the Lord. The Lord. That's just good. My money's on the Lord. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. He'll say, yeah, okay, they didn't know. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. It's not a good sign as a God, as a Lord, as a moral lawgiver, if your laws can just be violated in ignorance all the time. You know, it's not a great sign for your laws. It's not like, you know, it's like, I shouldn't murder people? Oh, crap. I didn't know. I'm sorry. If you just this one time, I'll sacrifice a goat and we're good, right? I mean, I know now that you don't like that. No, see, that doesn't make any sense. But when you have all these stupid, meaningless rules, like you have to do a tenth of a flower and you gotta sacrifice the right thing, you know, that makes it a little more plausible that somebody committed a sin in ignorance. So just saying, not a great sign. You know, if you're trying to evaluate your godliness, you know, in the future, all you out there, this is a sign that you're not doing well. If people can violate your rules in ignorance all the time. So just FYI. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the... Oh, jeez. This next part is almost too horrible to even joke about. It really is. On the other hand, it's so ridiculous that it's hard not to joke about. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And one could argue wandering in the woods looking for someone gathering sticks would qualify as working on the Sabbath, but never mind. So just assume they saw him there, you know, that just were wandering in the woods to, you know, do something in the woods. I don't know. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and to Aaron and unto all the congregation. One could argue that bringing him unto Moses and Aaron and all the congregation, that sounds like work to me. That's the kind of thing I'd say, like, how about we do not on the Sabbath? I'm just saying. And they put him in a ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. he was gathering sticks. Why do you need to do anything to... Oh, jeez. And the Lord said unto Moses, well, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And of course Moses said to him, hey, Lord, okay, that's good. I'm with you. Should we do this today? Or stoning people doesn't count as work, right? I mean, obviously, it is really fun. But then again, some work is fun. So I just want to make sure that we're not, you're not going to pull a fast one and then be like, ah, you were working, you did what I said, you know. And Lord's like, no, of course, stoning people is too fun to be work. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Wow. That's a buzzkill right there. It's one of those times where I and every Christian soul should really hope that this hideous book is not real, you know? They found somebody gathering sticks, and they murdered him. They stoned him to death. They hit him with rocks until he was dead. That's someone's life that was ended. That person got that one chance. It's unfortunate that they existed in the time that they did. But someday, people might look back on us and be like, "Ooh, gosh, can't believe they were born then. Poor people." But this was this poor person's only chance to live. And he was murdered for gathering stones. Gathering sticks. He was murdered violently. It's horrible. And I wish Moses had done one of his normal talking God down bits where he's like, "Hey God, I hear you. Don't you think that's a little bit harsh? I mean, we could just have him put the sticks back or something, you know. No, the damage is done. You can't ungather sticks." Yeah, I know. Another thing, though. Another thought occurs to me. You did just tell us those rules, like, a couple days ago, maybe, you know. And I know I told you I was gonna tell every human about them, but I really haven't. I'm not sure how fast media moves in the BC era. You just got done telling us about how sinning in ignorance was not really a big deal. Just offer a goat or whatever. I wasn't really listening, but it was something like that. And here we are killing a guy who we don't even know. Who in all likelihood doesn't read our publications or listen to our Godcast, probably doesn't know the law. I'm just wondering, less talk, more stoning. Moses, well, okay, you're the boss. And then the murder takes place. So a person has just been killed. And it goes on. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make the fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue." And there's no stopping God here. He just moves on, just completely unfazed. There's some poor guy, freshly bloodied and dead. But God's moving on. God's got stuff to do. You know, he's busy guy. He's like, okay, now that you've done with the murdering, make sure that the color of the fringe of people's garments is blue. Could there be anything more insulting than that? You know, any more disregard of someone's life than that? You would think that this person committed the single worst, like, sin in the entire all of humanity by how this is acting. And he's like, okay, so as I was saying, why don't I say blue hue on the borders? Oh, God. Can't you give us like 3 minutes? There's a bloody pulp of a corpse still lying there that we need to take care of. Can you just stop? Can you stop dictating to me for like 2 minutes while we, bury this completely innocent person we just slaughtered? Maybe, you know? Nope, God's moving on. "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look on it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring." Also, the new fringes here are a design I've engineered for maximum stone-throwing, accuracy, power. "That ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, to be your God. I am the Lord, your God. End of disturbing chapter. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelath, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye yourselves up above the people? And this is a little suspicious here. It almost sounds like Moses and Aaron made up God, and the people are now asking, hey, how come you're the only ones who can talk to God? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Really can't get over that, can he? I think one of his legs was shorter than the other, I'm pretty sure. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Question mark. I guess that was a question, but it's too long. Is it a small thing? So he's basically asking, is it a small thing that God hath already separated you to bring you near to himself? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and will seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both, these are all questions he's asking the people, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Okay, end of questions. And Moses sent down to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Now, more questions. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? These are their response questions here. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moses, to your questions. That's why I think about your questions. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth. David Lee Roth. And said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits and all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth, David Lee Roth, with all this congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from... Okay, let me recap, just because this is a bunch of BS language going on here. Pretty much some people are rising up against Moses and Aaron. What else is new? Because suspiciously, they can't talk to God, but Moses and Aaron can. It's so weird how that works. Quick side note. My new replaced music interface, recording interface rather, doesn't ever make that crackling sound, you know, how it'll go, and then I'll go, damn it, and I'll have to like hit it. So that's what was wrong with it. It pretty much just that went nuts and, blew up, I guess. Anyway, sorry, I just realized. So what's happening here is, some people whose names I don't care to remember are mad about not being able to talk to God. And they sort of they didn't make their own tabernacle, but they all got in a tent and decided that was their little tabernacle. And, they're sort of starting their own religion or like they want to cut the middleman, go straight to God. So, and Moses is, God is saying, wants to kill them, and Moses is, as usual, trying to sort of be like, no, don't kill them yet, you know, don't punish all of them for one of them, who's the ringleader, whatever. So Moses is telling him, get away from that fake tabernacle, otherwise God's going to kill you. And that leaves us where we are. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallowed them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. So this is interesting. It's so funny here, because the language of this book always makes it seem as though everybody can see the Lord, you know? Like when it's earlier when it said the glory of the Lord appeared at the tabernacle and all that kind of thing. But it's funny how it just sounds here like Moses has made them all up and the people don't believe him and can't see him. So right here, Moses is saying, if these people die unnaturally, pretty much talking to the people, he's like, well, okay, guys, make you a deal here. If you guys die unnaturally, then that proves I was right. But if not, then I'm wrong. And it's funny that all the plagues and stuff that have happened before that didn't already convince them of this, but what are you going to do? They're stubborn people. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, and went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And the crappy part was the congregation was like, I don't know. Was that natural? I mean, we do live in earthquake country. You know, that was bound to happen at any minute, really. I'm still not convinced. Show us some real proof. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And so everyone ran away, lest the earth swallow them up. And where did they run to that wasn't earth? just wondering, you know. Run to space, so the earth... See the moon up there? Let's run there. That can't swallow us up. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. But actually what had happened is the Lord said to Moses, ah, okay, I think I've got them now. And now I'll perform just another miracle to impress them by lighting all their incense at once. And, of course, 250 burned to death people later. God says, ah, yes, like I was saying earlier, Moses, I killed those 250 people offering incense to me because they were not loyal enough to me. Yeah, yeah, they had to go. That's what I was saying earlier. Wasn't going to light their incense. When I said light their incense, I meant I was going to light their incense in such a manner that killed them, is what I meant, just to be clear. So, all right, I need to just set a landmark here. Just stop. I'm going to plant my flag in the ground at this part of the Bible and say, right here, this had better be the last friggin' time we hear about these people speaking against Moses, you know, because they don't believe him or because we've had all these other times where God does all these miracles and the people 10 minutes later are like, I don't like that Moses. Because if I had any patience, I'd go back and check how many billions of times the Lord did some insane miraculous crap, and an hour later people were somehow already over it, you know. It must have just happened all the time back then. So let's just I'm just setting this here. This ought to be the last time, since he's killed a bunch of people and they fled and they were like, oh, I'm so scared that we're going to die. You know, that should do it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brassen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for the covering of the altar. Meaningless details here anyway. To be a memorial, because you were wondering, like, oh, what are they going to do with all those plates that people had that died? Like, because that's crucial information. To be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. Okay. But on the morrow, the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Oh, come on. Oh, jeez. Couldn't even go, six verses without already ruining my landmark I made, already questioning Moses again. Could it be any more obvious that these little miracles, and huge miracles, are just made up? They're just not real. There's no way these people would keep questioning Moses if the earth had just swallowed up, like, thousands of them and killed them. What is in it for the guy who's like, hey, you know what? I'm still not convinced, but, you know, what does he have to gain? oh my God. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Oh, and that did it. So they weren't convinced by the fire and the earth swallowing, but a cloud. Look, a cloud is over the tabernacle. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. So the Lord's like, oh, I'm mad, and you better You better go save those people from my wrath and my plague. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. It was night of the living dead. They were all plaguey. And he put on incense. And they're like, I don't think the incense is going to... I mean, it's not just the smell. It's sort of the whole deathy plague thing. Oh, that'll help the smell, they're saying. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. But too bad for all the people who died. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. Holy crap. 14,000 people just died. Okay, surely this ought to be the landmark. They ought to never speak against Moses now. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. And that's the end of that chapter. So we got just another short one here. It's a long podcast. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, if they're not still mad at me for, you know, killing 17,000 of them, 17 plus thousand of them, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I choose, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And I gotta wonder if whoever Moses was talking about here, sorry, talking to, if they were just a little conflicted about whether or not this was all sexual innuendo. Get one guy from each family to show Moses their rod, and he's going to hand pick one and make it blossom. Come on. Like, the guy must have been like, okay, sir, honestly, I'm a little confused, so I'm just going to come right out and ask, when you say rod, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among the rods. And Moses, Aaron stuck his rod in with all the other rods just because he's like, oh, I want Moses to see this, my rod. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in tabernacle of witness. Because he's kinky like that. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. All right, now I'm even having trouble following all these gay euphemisms. Does anyone know bloomed blossoms? Yeah, that sounds fine. And yielded almonds, though. I'm not familiar with that one. It was a different time, I suppose. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him. So did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? And that's the end of the chapter in tonight's reading, or today's, or this morning's. Shall we be consumed with dying? Question. Oh, cliffhanger. Yeah, so that's it. Well, I'm glad to be back for the 15th time, and gonna keep up. I know I say that all the time, but, you know, I just saw, it's those reviews on iTunes. Those really, really, really were nice. So if you still haven't done that, and I hope you haven't, because that would mean there are more kind listeners. That's always good. And I think it really helped to increase my subscribers. So yeah, you know, I scratch your Bible and, you know, review me on iTunes and, tell your atheist buddies or post it somewhere. You know, I appreciate it. So thanks a lot, guys, and I will see you next time, guys and girls and demons. Bye.